Before I tell you, we're going to be in 37, the dry bones, Valley of Dry Bones. But before I talk about it, let me talk about Ezekiel. Ezekiel was a prophet. He was a prophet in the days of Israel. Now, when was Ezekiel prophesying? Does anybody know? Anybody study the Old Testament? When was he prophesying? He was prophesying when Israel was in Babylonia, when they were in captivity. Ezekiel was taken with one of the first crowds. There were two exiles from Jerusalem. There was one where all the princes, and we think of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and those guys, they went on that trip. Then there was another when the king rebelled, the vassal king rebelled against Nebuchadnezzar, and the armies came back and destroyed Jerusalem, and then they carried off all the people. And Ezekiel was carried off in captivity. But he wasn't just an ordinary guy. He was a priest and he was a prophet. And so he was prophesying to the people in Babylon during the exile. That's the context. That's his whole ministry is that. And he was trying to encourage them that God would restore Israel. He was trying to encourage them that God would forgive their sin. Their sin had brought judgment on the nation. I'm so glad we don't live under the old covenant. But under the old covenant, they had disobeyed God's laws, and the consequence of that was God would send them into exile with a view to restore them. So this is the kind of time. And the Valley of the Dry Bones vision is considered by the scholars to be apocalyptic literature. Apocalyptic literature is a different kind of literature. You don't read it like you would read prose or poetry or other kinds of literature. You have to understand that it's just infused with symbolism and metaphors and analogies and all kinds of interesting word pictures to try to communicate a message. Now I'm going to try to ferret that message out for us today, at least one of them. Okay. So in Ezekiel chapter 31, I'm reading from the Word of God. I read the New King James. It's generally what I read from, and that's what I'm using today. The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the Spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of a valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, they were very many in an open valley, and indeed, they were very dry. Everybody say, very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, you know. Again he said to me, prophesy to these bones, and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will put sinew on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and breathe in you and breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, I looked, and the sinew and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered over them, but there was no breath in them. And he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man. And say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from four winds of the earth, or four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they might live. And I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. These bones are what? Okay, so we've got the application going now. They indeed say, our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. What are they saying? Our hope is lost, our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. That's what they're saying. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up from your graves. I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live. And I will place you in your own land, and then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we just ask you for insight and understanding and illumination into the Scriptures today. Thank you very much, Holy Spirit, that you're with us and in us, and yet you're our teacher, that you help us understand things. And so we want to understand, Lord, not that we would be only hearers of the Word of God, that we would also be doers of the Word of God. And we ask you, Lord, for that grace today, for that miracle of preaching, that when a mere man stands and preaches and declares the word of God, that it becomes a life-giving flow and a life-giving message into the hearts of the people. In Jesus' name, amen. What's fascinating to me about this, first of all, it was a vision Ezekiel had. But what's fascinating to me about this is that progression that's here is the progression that God uses in all of his creativity. Do you remember in Genesis 1, and God looked out over the face of the deep, and there was chaos there, and what did he do? He said something. He said something, and then there was light. He said, let there be light, and then there was light, right? He said, let the land and the sea be separated, and the land and the sea were separated. So in God's economy, Paul tells us in Galatians chapter 5 and 6, that God is a God who calls things that be not as though they are. This is God's way. It's what he did in Genesis. It's the image we have here in Ezekiel. It's a valley of dry bones. God asked Ezekiel, can these bones live? At least Ezekiel had sense enough to defer to the Lord. Let me ask you, do you have any dry bones in your life? Do you have any things that you would say with these people who were in Israel that you would agree with them? And our bones are exceedingly dry. I'm trying to find the verse. Yeah, if Son of Man say, see, they indeed say, verse 11, our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. I really believe that God wants to bring hope to you today and consequently faith regarding some situation in your life that looks absolutely impossible. You see, God is a God who does impossible things. God is a God who does impossible things. And most of the time we think of impossible as some kind of a miraculous event. But I want you to see what happened here. They were in a situation. In this vision, there was a situation of dry bones, and God had to have a man to speak. What are you saying, Pastor? God didn't come and speak to these bones, did he? Now, he did in creation. He spoke himself. But in this text I'm reading today, God did not speak. He said, Ezekiel, you think these bones can live? And Ezekiel said, well, Lord, you know. He said, well, why don't you prophesy over these bones? You know, in your impossible situation, you have responsibility. Not only do you have responsibility, but you have privilege. Now, Ezekiel was a prophet of God. We don't live under the covenant Ezekiel lived in. We live under a different covenant, a better covenant on better promises. We don't live where the Holy Spirit is hard to find and difficult to come by. And, you know, God's distant and far away. That's not true. God is near. His Spirit is at hand. He is not only with us, but he is in us. But in your situation that looks like bones, or your impossible situation, where it's very dry, looks very impossible. If God were to say to you, can these bones live? What would we say? Ezekiel said, Lord, thou knowest. But the people said, the bones are dry. I think there's a story here for the church. Some say that the church has replaced Israel. It's called replacement theology. I don't believe that myself, but we are grafted in. Romans 11 makes it very clear. There's a number of verses there where Paul very clearly says, we are not the vine, but we have been grafted into the vine. You know? And we are, consequently, because we're grafted in, we become a benefactor of all the promises of God to Israel. So any promise God made to Israel, he made to the church. And as individual members of the church, those promises consequently are made to you. Not solely to you, but you in the context of church, the body of Christ. And so we have this this vision. God's way is to call things that be not as though they are. God tells Ezekiel, prophesy to the dry bones. Flesh comes to them, sinew comes to them, muscle comes to them, but they're still dead. And then God says, prophesy to the wind, to the breath, that breath would come to them. I want to suggest to you that sometimes you start on a process with God and you don't get to do it one time or two times, but there's a continuing process of what you've got to say about your bones. Can these dry bones live? Lord, thou knowest. Can this marriage live? Lord, thou knowest. Can these kids be brought under control? Lord, thou knowest. Can my finances be brought under control? Lord, thou knowest. And I'm glad somebody knowest. You know? Is it possible that God would say to you, it's time for you to start saying something about your situation? You know, it's always important to understand it's not simply about saying, but it begins with saying. Saying what God says. Well, it looks impossible. Do you think God says, man, Jesus, Holy Spirit, come here. Have you ever seen anything like that? I don't know. Did we miss that at the cross or something? What are we going to do about that? No. We feel that way sometimes, don't we? You know, how can God ever help us with this thing? Well, the way God's going to help you is He's going to say, you need to start saying something. Not just anything. He didn't tell him just say whatever he wanted to, did he? He gave him specific instructions. Didn't he? And he said, and prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter you and you shall live. I will put sinew on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin, put breath in you, and you shall live. So what did he start doing? He started saying what he expected to see happen to the bones. Ladies and gentlemen, one of the most important things you'll ever learn about spiritual warfare or about your life in the Spirit is you have to learn to say what you expect based on the promise of God. Not just whatever you expect, but what God has said you can expect. Can these bones live? Can this family come together? Can this job, can I get a job? Can I survive in this economy? There's so much fear going on right now in the media, conservative media, liberal media, in-between media, out-of-the-ballpark media, the soft and gentle angry people or the raging angry people. I'm telling you, it's all about fear and control. And I refuse to be controlled by fear. I refuse to be manipulated by the popular media, either stuff I like or stuff I don't like. It doesn't matter what the source of the manipulation is. As long as the enemy can have the advantage to keep you at fear, then you're done. This is what I heard the Lord saying about this. That God's way is to call things as that be not as though they are. It's not to call things that are as though they're not. Now you have authority to command things, but God's way is to call things that be not as though they are. There wasn't any skin. There wasn't any sinew. There wasn't any muscle. There wasn't any breath. He's prophesying, calling something that wasn't to be. Okay, this is God's way. And I don't have time to develop it this morning, but in the New Testament, if you study the New Testament closely, you'll find out that's how it works. How many of you remember Mark 11, 20 and following? You know, have faith in God, speak to the mountain. You know, all that stuff, and you'll have whatsoever you say. I really think some of you and some of your families, you have situations and circumstances in your lives where it absolutely looks like dry bones. Very dry bones. Been dry a while. But I'm here to tell you today that I believe what the Lord is saying is He will bring life. He is a life-giving Spirit. He is a life-giving Spirit. And He can bring life to that. But you have a part to play. I have a part to play when I'm looking at my bones. First of all, I got to believe that God is big enough to take care of that situation. Lord, Thou knowest. I've got to believe that God knowest. I've got to believe if God's talking to me about something, He knows. He's able. He's capable. He's smart enough. He's powerful enough. He is able. God is able. That's the first thing. First thing is I have got to believe that God is big enough. Well, I don't even know, you know. I've heard people say, I don't even think God could fix that. No, God can fix stuff. One question might be, are we willing to let Him? It's an amazing vision, really. He said, these bones are the whole house of Israel. I don't know what your bones are today. I've written down a couple of things here. But I can tell you this. God has given us His Word. He's told us what to say. You don't have to think it up. You don't have to be creative about it. You don't have to have some revelation. Skies open. Write it in the clouds. He's told us. He's told us. He's given us the Word to speak. The Word was spoken so it could be written. It is written so it can be spoken. You ever do that devotional thing where you read long and you don't ever feel anything? You're just kind of reading and reading and reading. You wonder, am I wasting my time? No, because if you hide the Word of God in your heart, in the day of difficulty, the Holy Spirit will have something to draw on. Because you will have days of difficulty, but you want to have the resource of the sword of the Lord at your disposal. And that's why you develop a habit of reading the Word of God. Now, lots of times, you can meet the Lord in the midst of all that, and that's a wonderful experience. But the reason you read the Word and hide the Word in your heart is against the day of trouble. So, well, if I'm serving God, I should never have any trouble. You believe that? I got a bridge I want to sell you in San Francisco. Oh, man. So we have the Word of God. Now, on top of that, Ezekiel didn't even have this in those days. We have the Holy Spirit. Remember, I've been talking all summer how the Holy Spirit is not only with us, but He is in us. That means the Holy Spirit will speak to you. He will lead you. He will guide you. Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 1 says, if we're led by the Holy Spirit of God, we're not going to fulfill the lust of the flesh. We're not going to do stupid. We're not going to be carnal. We're certainly not going to let the devil have an advantage in our life, but we're not going to be carnal if we're being led by the Spirit. But you have to allow the Holy Spirit to lead you. He will not come down, put a bit in your mouth, and jerk your head sideways. God wants to have a relationship with His people. God wants to have a relationship where He can prompt us or nudge us or urge us by the Holy Spirit, and we'll say, yes, Lord. We'll say, yes, Lord. And when we're saying, yes, Lord, we won't have time to be involved in carnality. I think a lot of times we worry and we fuss over our sins and over our carnal stuff and our bad thinking and stuff, where I'm just absolutely 100% convinced if we would give ourselves to the pursuit of God, we wouldn't have near as much struggle with that other stuff. Paul said you have to put off the old man and put on a new man in Christ. We have been created in Christ. We're new creations. We have the Holy Spirit in us. He is our friend. He is our helper. I could, you know, all these words that describe the Holy Spirit. He's our teacher. He's our helper. He's our guide. He's our comforter. He wants to be alive and active and big time real in your life. When you find yourself in the valley of dry bones, or you find yourself in a life experience that looks impossible, and you find yourself on the journey of life and it's just downright hard, do you give up on God? Do you quit on God? Do you say, Lord, I don't even think God can deal with this thing? No. Lord, thou knowest. And then you have a listening ear and find out what God wants you to start saying about that situation. And if you'll start saying what you expect and what the Bible, the Word of God tells us, you know, the Bible's full of promises about just about every facet of life. You can't hardly find a problem in life that the Bible doesn't speak to one way or the other. But you have to search it out sometimes. You have to search it out. I wouldn't be here today if Michigan and I hadn't been hiding the Word of God in our hearts for a long time before we came to the day of trouble. I'd be happy. I'd be in heaven doing something for God, but I mean, you know, I wouldn't be here. Dry bones. Have you got something to say about your bones? Or are you going to say, what, Israel? They are very dry. Not only are they dry, our hope is lost. Now, they were in captivity. Now, God told them they were going to be in captivity. He told them they were going to be there for 70 years, settle in, build a house, get a job, raise a family. You're going to be here a while, guys. Some of them got so settled in, they didn't want to leave when it's time to go back home. You know? Others of them didn't settle in at all. They kept thinking, we're going to go back any time now. But Jeremiah made it clear, it's going to be 70 years. You know, sometimes the fact is, ladies and gentlemen, we don't want to hear what God's got to say. Can I talk to you this morning? Sometimes we don't want to hear what God's got to say to us. We don't want to hear what the Bible says, first of all, but then we certainly don't want to hear what the Holy Spirit has to say. We want our way. I don't mean that in an unkind or ugly way. I just mean there's something built into every one of us that we prefer our position. Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, you have to take up your cross every day. Follow me. Now, the thing about Jesus' cross is it's not heavy and it's not a burden. And so if you say you're carrying Jesus' cross and it's heavy and burdensome, it's not His. You know, my cross, my yoke is easy. My burden is... You know how I think that works? It's just my opinion about this. I think that works because if you're having fun with Jesus and you're rejoicing in Jesus and you're having a great time in Jesus, you don't even know the other weight's around. The other thing is you're yoked together with the Lord, meaning He's pulling and you are too. Mostly He's pulling the load and you. But it gets really difficult when we're kicking against the yoke. Now He's pulling the load and He's dragging you. My counsel is just let's at least go along peacefully and not resist God. Anybody got any bones? Life situations, circumstances that you would be inclined to say, these are very dry bones. A business, work thing. Kevin, if you'll start saying what you need to be saying, you're not going to be underemployed much longer. Amen. Them bones aren't as white as you think they are. Thank you. I can pick on some of you. I don't know if I ought to or not. Maybe I ought to. I'm telling you, whatever your life circumstance is. Now, I'm hesitant to give an invitation because I know that any of us that have any problem at all, we want to be up here and get prayed for. And a lot of times we do that because we think what's going to happen is a pastor's going to lay his hands on me, or a prayer partner's going to lay hands on me, or somebody's going to do that, and then all of a sudden I'm going to be different. And so I'm going to come up here, and I'm going to put it on pastor, I'm going to suck the anointing out of him, and I'm going to be all right. Ladies and gentlemen, we charismatics need to grow up. It don't work like that. I'll lay my hands on you, and God's going to help you. I know he does. But the way he's going to help you is he's going to tell you to start saying something. He's going to challenge you to look at the Word of God. He's going to challenge you to be led by the Holy Spirit, not be resisting God every time you turn around. He might speak to you about all the stuff you don't want to talk to him about. How many of you ever noticed that God will speak to you about stuff you don't want to talk about? Have you ever noticed in a conversation with God, it's always better if you'll go with him? Because if you'll go with him, you know what happens? He'll take care of your concern if you'll take care of his business. You take care of God's business in your life, he'll take care of your business. I found many times over the years, I'd go to pray about a situation, he'd be talking to me about something else different. I'd say, Lord, don't you hear me? He'd say, I'm not listening. Are you? Yeah, but I'm not talking about that. I'm not worried about that. He said, I'm telling you, do that. When I do that, he takes care of this. It's happened time after time after time after time. After time after time. It's getting ourselves. Remember what Jesus said in John 14:12? The things that I do and greater things than these shall you do because I go to my Father. And we found out through studying the Gospel of John that Jesus said, I of myself can do nothing. I do only what I see the Father do, and I say only what I hear the Father saying. And listen, guys, listen, let me tell you what Christianity is about. Christianity is about you being connected with God so you can hear what he's saying, see what he's doing, and do that stuff. And then he'll take care of everything else. So, well, where does it say that in the Bible? Well, Matthew 6:33 is a good place to start. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these other things. And if you read the other things up there, it was all the stuff we mostly worry about. Food and clothes and shelter and provision. He said, I'll take care of that stuff if you'll put me first. And you know what? It preaches easy. The words come easy. But I'm telling you, putting God first walks out a little more challenging. That's why we need the Holy Spirit. I actually think it's not possible to do it without his help. It's like God says, come follow me, and then he said, I'm going to help you. Your bones. Now, I want to pray for those people that think they got bones. That they're willing to start saying what the Bible says about their bones. They're willing to be led by the Holy Spirit in what they're saying about their bones. They're going to shut up complaining about their bones. They're going to stop saying these bones are dry. I don't have any hope. There you go. I've waxed eloquent. Here you go. Holy Spirit's going to help some people today. I'm telling you, God is in the house. Come on, Chris. And so, on those conditions, shall I go over them again? I want to pray for people that have bones. If you're willing to start saying what God says about your bones. And if you're willing to shut up saying what you're saying about your bones. I don't need to know what your bones look like. I don't need to know where all the cracks are. I don't need to know that the elbow joint's over yonder on the other side of the house. I don't need to know all about your bones. You don't need to be rehearsing how dry your bones are. Or how bad the situation is. You don't need to do that. There's no grace in doing that. You can view it, peruse it. He went and he looked. It's a valley of dry bones. These are definitely dry bones. I think you don't go in denial. You're not going to pretend that they're not dry and bleached and white. You're not going to do that. You're just going to, thou knowest, O Lord. Does that make sense? Have I muddied up the water or is it pretty clear? All right. You got bones. You want me to pray with you and agree with you that God's going to do something about them bones? He's going to speak to you. He's going to give you a word. He's going to show you something in Scripture. He's going to lead you something by the Holy Spirit that you are going to see life come to those bones. I'll pray for you. Come up and get online.